Lucy.
Present.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Hurdle.
Here.
Director Searcy.
Here.
We're going to have a flag salute. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving on to agenda item number 4, agenda review. We'll just review the order of business to be conducted, receive requests, or make announcements regarding any changes to the order of the day. Does anybody have any changes to the agenda?
Chairman Guerrero, yes. I would like to table item 6, G, and H until the next meeting.
And I don't believe there's anybody here on item 6G or 6H that would speak to that. So, is there any comment on that?
Oh, on which one?
Item 6G and 6H as far as tabling it?
No, I don't have any issues with that.
Okay. Is there any other changes? Are there any other changes to the agenda?
Definitely.
Director Angelo, welcome back, by the way.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, good to have you.
Mr. President, I'll move to approve the agenda with the changes of tabling item G and H.
Do I have a second?
Item utility item 6.
I'll second.
All right. Can I get a voice vote? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? None. Passes 5-0 with changes as stated. Moving on to item number 5, public comment. Manager Gieslin, is there any public comment?
No, we don't have any at this time.
All right. Moving. Oh, Mr. Edwards, is that for right now or is that for later?
It includes right now.
Okay. Mr. Edwards?
Thank you, Mr. President. Board members, good evening. My name is Jeff Edwards. I have just some brief kind of questions and observations. First question, it's unclear whether your general manager, Mr. Gieslin, has a signed contract. By all appearances, he does not. So maybe that could be clarified. If he does, then my question is, or my point's moot. If not, it raises other questions about the effective date of April 1st, and if he didn't have a signed contract, it raises some questions. Secondly, I'd like to, and again, make an inquiry. Two meetings ago, Mr. Gieslin mentioned that you were contemplating receiving iPads for your board members. I think the reference was that the Board of Supervisors had iPads, and gee, wouldn't it be nice to cut down on paper? I would submit to you that the Board of Supervisors, their paperwork is a little bit larger than yours. They have staff reports in the hundreds of pages, and they process thousands of pages of documents from meeting to meeting. And I think that you might be lucky to have a dozen pages in your whole packet for a meeting. So I would really discourage consideration of iPads for the board. And then I'll just wrap up by inquiring, why was the office closed at noon on Good Friday? There's no provision for that. I just don't know why it occurred. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Is there any other public comment, Manager Gieslin?
Not at this time.
All right. Moving on to item number 6, utility items. And I had previously recused myself from these items 6A through 6F, so I will leave the room.
I will do the same.
Lucy, if you could run this portion of the meeting, please.
Say what?
If you could run this portion of the meeting.
Holy cow. I'm going to do it for my chair, okay?
Yeah. Okay, so this is the will serve letters for the Tacken projects. It's the old Avocado Ranch. He's come to us several times for approval. I spoke out against approving the will serve letters, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4. I thought there were more.
Six.
There's six
total.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So 6, and I had brought up concerns around not having enough street lighting in that area, and since that time I've talked to Mr. Casey O'Connor several times, and staff has spent an enormous amount of time on this now. And so my understanding is he's going to follow through, and one, he's going to attempt to put some lighting in around the gazebo area. Something about they can't put this light back where it was that they had taken out when they built the track, but...
Oh, so maybe we'll...
Well, when we get to there.
You want to take that? But you're starting to have a discussion, so I wanted to go forward.
Well, I want the board to discuss it. Then if they want, if people want to put public comment in on it, most definitely.
Okay.
Because it's not a motion on the floor yet. If it was a motion on the floor, then I would do it backwards. But right
okay.
now, it's a board
All
discussion.
Right.
That's what my concern is. I'd like to see a date because it's been so prolonged and it has been promised. If you feel that he's moving forward and the wheels have already started rolling and it looks like it's going to happen this time.
Well, the one thing that gives me hope is that he has future projects in the pipeline. So as long as this particular entity has future projects in the pipeline, I feel more hopeful versus taking one's word. You know, so I would recommend approving this batch at this time, and let's see about okay. that. Okay.
Are
so,
these,
go ahead.
Are these the last developments to be done in that Avocado Ranch set itself, or is there another leg to this?
There's another phase to this.
Okay.
But this one got hitched up because I, you know, had.
Yeah.
Words about the lighting.
Sure.
And they did not intend to do any lighting whatsoever, even though I know for a fact I heard about this low voltage lighting, and then I heard that, you know, somebody, a neighbor, actually didn't want street lighting, which is unheard of for a property owner to want to do
that. I think
that
was in a different area. I remember.
You know, so, yeah, so it's been going on for a while, yeah. And so when the letters came up for, the will serves came back up for, you know, review, it became an issue again. So if somebody wants to make a motion, then we'll second it and then open the floor for discussion from the public.
Okay. Do you want to make it?
I move to approve the will serve letters for the tech and single family residence project.
I'll second that.
Okay. We'll take any public comment now on that.
Yes, we have Bill Senna, please.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good evening to the members of the board and Lori, my deepest sympathy.
Thanks, sorry, Bob.
I couldn't be there the other day, but.
Thank you.
I have all the respect in the world for Casey O'Connor. He's, but you have to watch him. You have to stay on him a little bit. But it seems like the street light that was at the corner of 25th and Basin Street was removed. Then there's been off and on talk over the last probably 5 or 6 years about putting one at the corner of 25th and Basin, and it keeps getting moved one way or another. At one time, if you look throughout the community, you're going to find there's an awful lot of streetlights. And it's kind of disheartening to see those disappear. There are a factor for safety. In my area, we get an awful lot of traffic because it's easier for the people to come down Paso Robles Street, come up through the project, and go down Basin. It's got all sidewalks where Paso Robles does not. So we get traffic through there even as late as 1:30 at night. We've had vandalism on three houses right near the area. Those photocell lights that people put in their yard, neighbor across the street lost those. Someone seemed to borrow them one night. And then my neighbor next to me had their car broken into, and they stole some items out of the car, GPS and what have you. I took the initiative to install a motion detector light up over my garage. I haven't had any vandalism, but not yet. But I just, at one time, it was decided that OCSD had put the money aside. You're responsible, I believe, in your charter to provide street lighting. And at one time, that was placed and voted and approved, but then nothing happened. So the fact that I used a bad choice of words, Ms. Vice President, when I said the light slipped through the cracks, actually the light was ignored for some reason. Whoever did the plan check just didn't think about lights.
APN 062075008. Mm-hmm. APN 062075009. APN
062075016. Harvey, could you put that microphone closer to you?
APN 062075024. APN 062075026.
That's it.
It's a total of six.
Did you get six? Oh, those two are tabled, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay, so if there's no more discussion, we'll close the motion.
But, oh.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
I think it has to be a roll call vote, please.
Roll call. Mm-hmm. Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes. Passes 3-0. Okay. Should we leave the gentleman out in the rain a little bit longer?
Either we're all getting bigger or these tables have moved back.
What's going on?
We'll move to item number 7, review and approval of minutes.
I move that we accept the minutes.
Well, hold on, is there public comment on the minutes, Manager Gieslin?
No, wait a minute.
Okay. Is there any board comment?
Second. There's none.
All right, I have a motion and a second, being no board comment. Can I get all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes are approved by a vote of 5-0. Moving on to item number 8, cash disbursements. I think we have a new one that came out this afternoon. Has everybody had a chance to review those?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any public comment on cash disbursements, Manager Gieslin?
Yes, Jeff Edwards.
Mr. Edwards?
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. Jeff Edwards. On your disbursements, I see a payment to Water Systems Consulting, Inc. This is in connection with the Northern Cities Management Area activities. You've been paying Water Systems Consulting, Inc. and also another firm by the name of GEI for some time, and I have to raise questions about the efforts of these consultants and how their efforts are benefiting your district, because I don't think they are. You may recall in the 2010 annual monitoring report, they discussed seawater intrusion. And by the way, this seawater intrusion thing hasn't gone away, and I'll come back to some references. But, and I'll read from the 2010 annual monitoring report. To minimize the threat of seawater intrusion, the northern cities have reduced coastal groundwater pumping, and that's the operative part. Decreased overall water use via conservation, initiated plan studies, and institutional arrangements to secure additional surface water supplies. Well, as your board knows, Oceano has a full complement of water. And It's the groundwater that I believe is being threatened by the activities of the Northern Cities Management Area. Your groundwater supply is entitled at 900 acre-feet per year, and I don't think that's something you want to lose. It represents the single largest asset attributable to this district. You may have followed the Los Robles del Mar consideration at LAFCO, and as it turns out, Pismo had a groundwater entitlement of 700 acre-feet, and now, in part to their own devices, they're being recognized at 200 acre-feet. That's a 500 acre-foot swing in groundwater. That's not something this district could afford to lose. And so I have to again question whether activities, participation, and expenditures in connection with the Northern Cities Management Area is in the benefit of this district. You're paying expenses, and I think you're really paying others to build a case against you, in effect. And I don't think that's something that's, again, in your benefit. A related expense that I haven't seen it come through on the disbursements was the $7,150 for monitoring equipment to outfit a monitoring well. And I haven't understood whether this district was going to pay the entire amount.
Has bills correct?
Correct.
And is that a percentage of that go to the sand district?
We'll have that discussion on the when we address the sand district on the agenda.
Okay.
Is there any other questions or comments? Being none, do I have a motion?
I'll so move.
Do I have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the warrants. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Warrants are approved 5-0 with... moving on to item number 9, board member comments. Are there any board member comments this evening? I'll start at the end of the table. Director Angela, welcome back.
I'm sorry.
Welcome back. Do you have any board member comments?
No, it's just good to be home, and hopefully I'll be here to help you guys decide what to do and where we're going and all that good stuff. And I appreciate all the condolences and the friendship and the shoulders to lean on. Thank you.
Director Hurdle, do you have any comments?
No, I don't.
All right. Vice President Lucy, do you have any comments this evening?
Well, I just wanted to remind everybody that in every national capital in the United States this Saturday, there will be a march on the war against women. And that means that every state capital across the United States, and so in Los Angeles, I know that there are over 500,000 women and men supporting women are gathering, and in Sacramento, there's over 500,000 people who are organizing. And I really strongly encourage people to go out and support women in this issue. As many people know, women get paid approximately 77 cents an hour less than their male counterparts, and even all the way down to dry cleaning our blouses, it always costs more to have our clothes dry cleaned than our male counterparts. So go out and support a woman in your house. Thank you.
Director Searcy?
I have no comment. Just welcome back, Lori.
Thank you.
My only comments tonight is it's just to reiterate some things that we've said before, and that's this district is made up of 5 near volunteers, elected and appointed. There's nothing sensational that goes on here. The focus, again, is on water, sewer, trash, fire services, and street lighting. I think everybody here is dedicated to the community, and that's why we do what we do. So we hope that we're a service to the community, and we would like to continue to provide those services. With that, let's move on to item number 10, reports.
We have public comment on that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Public comment on board member comments? Is there public comment on board member comment?
Jeff Edwards.
Mr. Edwards has passed. Moving on to item number 10A, report of OCSD operations. Manager Giesel?
Good evening.
Good evening.
I apologize for not having a shirt and tie, but we were going crazy today, and I never got a chance to break and go home. So, and I forgot it this morning, so shame. We're going to cash it today. First of all, at our last meeting, we had somebody bring up the ballot initiative on the taking the voter approval to sell water permanently. Rest assured, citizens of Oceano, that we have been addressing that since it became an issue. I've had conversation with Julie Rodewall. I've had conversation with the people that did the initiative. I've had conversations with legal counsel. We have a timeline that we're following, and it doesn't really become a direct issue to you guys where we need a resolution until the June-July time frame. So, but we have it. We've got things in motion, so I don't know where that came from, but it is being addressed, and we have it undercover.
Tom, can I ask you just real quickly? So at some point, I know that there were some concerns about the language on how that initiative passed and stuff, and so you can fit as we get closer to, you know, having.
Well, I can tell you what happened on that. We had that discussion, and we went to look at a strategy to challenge the language, and in discussing with the county clerk on that, she said that when you usually challenge before it goes to election, the judges don't rule in your favor because they like the voice of the people to be heard first. So the strategy we've adopted is we're going to have the election go forward as planned, and the arguments will be posted, and then we will address it once the election is over with. But the voice of the people are the priority.
And so in the ballot, will the language be exactly like it was written?
I'm going to defer to council on that.
The language on the ballot has to be exactly like it was written as the petition was drafted. And I, as legal counsel, am required to write an opinion on that, and county council is required.
The NCMA annual report that's due out at the end of the month, it's a court-ordered report. Both council and I have been active in pushing back on a lot of items that have appeared, and as of this afternoon, the final draft still is not finished. So we are still, we've cited several things that we take issue with, and we've gone forward with that, and it's delayed the citing. But we're not the only ones. AG is also finding some issues, and so are some of the others. And also our attorney, Henry Weinstock of Nossman, has also been pushing back on some of the stuff that has been in there, but it's all under attorney-client, and I can't go into it other in greater detail than that at this time.
Okay, so at some point, are we going to be able to go into closed session and talk about this report?
My plan is when it's released, we can go and talk about it in the wide open. Why would it need to go closed session?
Well, if you're concerned about it, the breach of the confidentiality of the document before it's completed. I mean, what I'm concerned about is the accuracy and understanding the why we have the Northern Cities, because it's court-ordered. And two is that we're very, very accurate in our response to them. And
we have brought to their attention that the accuracy is of the utmost importance, because if you provide something that is inaccurate on a court-ordered document, then you're committing perjury, and so therefore, why would you want to open your door to that? And so that's some of the things that we've been pushing back on.
Okay.
So, but I anticipate it's going to be released at the end of this week.
Okay.
Okay.
That's good.
Should we have that on our agenda for next time for discussion?
Yeah, we will.
Okay.
We'll add that.
We could add that. Thank you, Tom.
And also, WSC will be coming on the second meeting in May to present the work that they've done for us and that they've done for NCMA, and answer your questions directly upon that as well. So, and that's already being scheduled. So at the next meeting, I'll have it. We'll probably do a quick review and discussion, and then the final meeting, the second meeting where we don't have all the other reports, we can use that as a open it up for a debate. Okay. Sanitation District, we've spent considerable time.
Is this item F?
What?
Is this item F? 11F?
Yeah, no, I'm talking, just giving you an update on, on my report. We spent a considerable amount of time chasing through a lot of stuff, and I'll elaborate more on that when we get to 11F. And then the water audit, that's what we're doing externally here. We have our guys going out and double-checking every line that we've got going out to customers and every sewer line and verifying things. And to my knowledge, I can't tell if it's ever been done before. And so what you have is a whole bunch of hodgepodge reporting that the guys have gone through and listed out every single account, cross-checked it, and now they're actually going to go out and physically touch each line and verify every setup. And then we will come back and make the adjustments. And we're timing to make the adjustments right when we switch to the new year, so that when we go to a new software package, and we will go to a new software package, because the Tyler thing is just too cumbersome and doesn't allow us the flexibility that we need to run this place efficiently. We will have that coupled together. So,
is that something the staff is already looking into, is what particular software would be most appropriate for our?
Yeah, we're looking for a significantly cheaper option than, and we're talking with the Radix people, which is our meters, readers, because the stuff we have is going on 20 years old, and it's never been updated. We've had a few software upgrades, but it's never been updated, and we've yet to go through a billing cycle since I've been here where we've had some major inaccuracies that we have to go back through and double-check and rework, and it's it consumes a significant amount of time. The district audits. I received the first pass of the restatement of 08 and 09, and we've reviewed it with the accountant and also our new auditor, who was the one that flagged it, that we needed to go back and reset for this. And we are redoing the financial statements to coincide, but we also found some stuff in their first draft that we're taking issue with. It is not pretty. It slams the draft on the 910 audit as well, and that's just waiting for the journal entry changes and the updated financial statements so they can put that in the trial balance and then go back through and correct all that stuff that needed to be corrected. And we anticipate that to be fairly quickly, so we're still on schedule to have that stuff done, and then we're going to close 10-11 right after we get those adjustments made. So I'm extremely happy as to where we're at on that. The other thing that we've been doing, if you've been out to the yard and you look at our equipment is extremely old, extremely held together with Band-Aids and baling wire in a lot of cases. We have a jetter that doesn't work, but we have access to other ones that we can get our hands on. But we are trying to, the field guys are going out identifying new and used equipment to replace it, the stuff that we have, and I'll be coming forward to you with field unit requests and for you guys to go over and check and then give us the yay or nay on the approved purchases. We are currently doing a repair on Cienega, and the repair is actually done. We've had four sewer backups on that one line in the last year, which resulted into four spills, which we had to report. And when they got down and looked at it, it appeared that whoever did the repair before cut a lot of corners. And so we basically had a pipe coming into a pipe at an angle like this. So you're violating the gravitational flow and giving it a neck for stuff to accumulate. And so that has been repaired, and we're just waiting for the drier weather so we can patch up the streets. So, and that went through pretty quick. Do you have any questions on that?
No.
Okay. The other thing that is jumping to the front is that we've been working on the budget in preparing the budget to meet the bureaucratic standards that have come forward in the past. I will have something to the Finance Committee for review by next week. Then we will go forward with that, and then we will bring it to your board for approval sometime in the June time frame.
Should we schedule a Finance Committee meeting at this time?
I don't think so, because I want to give them time to review it.
Okay.
And get certain feedback, and then we'll go from there. Council and staff have been also working on the new policies and procedures manual, and council did deliver it on 4/20, and we are in the middle of reviewing it, and we will hand it over to the head of the personnel committee for their approval to start reviewing it, and so we can redline it and make the changes as accordingly. So it's been a very busy 2 weeks. Staff has been putting in a lot of extra effort. The other thing is we have a rec out for a journeyman utility person, and we received about 35 applications, of which we gleaned off 5, and we started the interview cycle this week. And the interview cycle, the first pass of interviews will be done by this week, and then we'll have some bringbacks, and we will then bring, hopefully within a week after that, we'll bring you a new employee to the district family. So if it turns out that the journeyman doesn't work or doesn't fit our profile, then our backup plan is to bring in a maintenance worker level person and then bring them along and train them and go along those lines. But the candidates that we've had so far have been pretty knowledgeable. Some lack experience in one area, and you never find the perfect fit. So kind of like I thought I was perfect for this job until other people pointed out how I wasn't. So, you know.
Tom, I just have a quick question. So that changes our organizational chart then, right? Is that an added staff person?
No, it's a replacement for Steve.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. All right. And that's basically it. I'm open for questions, and then there is one public comment.
Are there any board questions? Okay. Public comment, then?
Jeff Edwards.
Mr. Edwards.
Good evening again, President Guerrero, board members. Jeff Edwards. Mr. Geislin mentioned the 2011 annual monitoring report that's not out yet. Because that's what the appearance is, that if it does pass, that you're going to challenge the initiative itself. So I think just in the interest of candor, that might be in order. And then lastly, concerning the 2012-2013 budget, a suggestion: you might want to consider the anticipated fines that are going to come down from the Sand District that could be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, and I'd encourage you to include those in your budget for next year. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Is there any other public comment, Tom?
There's none.
All right. Is there any board comment? All right. Why don't we move on to item 10B, report of Board of Directors and outside committees. Why don't we start with Director Hurdle?
Okay. On the 16th of April, I attended the Oceano Advisory Council meeting, and there was election of new officers, which all the officers remained the same. We reviewed bylaws, and we did have two county planning referrals. One was for a vacation rental down on the beachfront area, and we sent that back with clarification because we wanted to know about occupancy. The advertisement stated that there was an occupancy of 20 for the home. However, there is only parking for 5 vehicles. And so we want to make sure that the way it's advertised is that there's only parking at the resident and no off-street parking because of the congestion that takes place down there. And really wondering, you know, 20 people in one house, we wanted to get some clarity on that. And at that time, too, it was advised if anyone is having problems down there with the parking, because it does get very congested, to call the property management people and let them take care of it. And the second referral was for a new structure coming in Oceano, and it's going to be between the Melodrama and the green building, La Tapatia, the old one. And it's going to be a two-story structure with commercial offices on the bottom and residential on top. So we're excited about that. And that was it. And then on April the 20th, I attended the Five Cities Fire Authority meeting, JPA. And at that time, we approved a resolution to hire a permanent part-time office assistant, too. And that position is funded. There's budgeted money for it, so it's not a new addition to the budget. And also that we had a discussion regarding the proposal for the benefits assessment or the new district, and still working towards that. And I believe, oh, and then on Monday the 23rd, I also attended a special meeting for the Fire Authority on labor negotiations. That's it for me.
Where is the Fire Authority Board now as in regards to the benefit assessment?
Well, presentations are still being made to boards. We're trying to put together the most succinct presentation that allows people to understand the need for the assessment. And the assessment, the benefits assessment, is agreed upon as the best way to go, because we would not be creating a new district. Mm-hmm. And also because that would give property owners the opportunity to vote to say how their money is going to be spent, as opposed to if we go to a special district, then it's opened up to everyone. And what the objective is of this assessment is to come up to national standards. There are national standards that have been set by fire departments for the best fire suppression response time available. And that is what we'd like to see happen. And there are other things that go along with this. There's a two-in and two-out, two-man-in, two-man-out process during fires that helps save lives and also protects the safety of the crews. And we'd like to meet these specifications all at one time. But if we set the goal and go towards meeting this standard, we have to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. And we'd like to see it move forward.
Have they heard back on the SAFER grant yet?
I don't think so.
Okay, because that was something that the last board meeting I went to, I think in January, they had applied for. It's $1.2 million a year, I think, was the
right.
SAFER grant.
Yes, and I think it's for like two positions.
Actually, it was six.
Six?
Yeah.
No, I don't know anything about that one. But even with a grant that only lasts a part
for 3 years, yeah.
And then we would be responsible for what, you know, once that goes away, and we'd rather just get a good foot on us being sustainable,
right?
You know, as an agency.
Thank you.
There you are. You're welcome.
So, Thelma.
Yes.
The reason why, you know, I wasn't in favor of the special district is because the people of Oceano had spent their money, and also too is that fire is one of our powers, and we have five powers. That we empowers being the services,
sure,
that we agreed to fulfill that are honored to us by the state of California through LAFCO, right?
Right.
By creating another special district, we would lose all our assets.
Right.
We would lose not only our power to provide that service, but everything that everybody's put into it. So now I have to go to the assessment. You know, what exactly does that look like? Is that added to the taxes? You know, what does it mean for the district? And then what does it mean for the residents of the district?
Okay, the benefits assessment is a ballot initiative. Not initiative, it's a ballot that goes to property owners only.
Uh-huh.
And what has to happen is an assessment of properties owned, and at that time they will determine what each property will be assessed. And each owner will be given the opportunity to say yay or nay on this, which I think is the biggest component of this, to roll this out to give property owners the opportunity to make the decision.
Okay, well, here, let me play that devil advocate.
Of course.
Okay, so don't discuss it. Don't go beyond reporting on what you did. You can put it on the agenda for discussion. It sounds like it will come up on the agenda soon.
Great.
It will. They're going to be here at the next meeting.
But don't be arguing it now.
No, I'm not arguing. I'm just saying that, you know, I'm afraid we'll set ourselves up because there's so many people around the country who are now dropping their house insurance because they can't afford it. Mm-hmm. So if you give them a chance to take $10 off their property taxes, they're going to do it. I know two people who do not carry house insurance.
So that when it comes on the agenda, those are the things.
Right, and those are things that we'll ask them when they come and do the report.
Okay. Any other reports, Director Hurdle?
No.
All right, Director Lucy, do you have any reports?
Nope, lazy bum this week.
Okay, Director Searcy?
I have none.
Okay, the only I did attend the sanitation district. The big issue there is the recycled water symposium set for June 7th. 6 o'clock, and I'm having a moment where I'm not remembering the location of it, but it is set. No, it's not going to be here, but there will be it's set for June 7th, 6 o'clock in the evening. They are going to have many speakers there. The big issue for the sanitation district is the cost associated with recycled water and also marketing the recycled water. Manager Gieslin and I have been coming up with some ideas on that, which we'll discuss at a later time. Moving on to item number 11. Oh, is there public comment? I'm sorry. I apologize.
Jeff Edwards.
Mr. Edwards is passing. Moving on to item number 11A, resolution 2012-02, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Services District confirming the charges against property owners for the collection of delinquent utility charges and directing staff to place a lien on the properties. Can I get a staff report?
Well, I'm going to turn this over to Carol Ann, but I'll just give you a quick update. What is happening is we already do this for weed abatement, and we already do this for it's escaping me, but
water.
Yeah. But the issue is that we've gone to great lengths to collect from people, and we've actually, as I've reported before, really beaten down our dead file. But mm-hmm. You reach a point where you've got some where you have no alternative. So with that, I'll turn it over to Carol Ann.
Carol Ann?
And the last time that we had to provide this resolution in order to make this move forward.
Okay, thank you, Carol Ann. Is there any public comment on this issue?
None at this time.
All right. Is there any board comment or discussion?
How many do we have?
We have 8 at the current moment.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome. Is there an issue if one of us lives too close to any of these properties, like 500 feet or anything, to vote?
So the addresses are...
Oh, that's a good question.
I'm out.
I just realized that.
One lives right across the street from you.
Yes.
You can't say that. We don't have the list. This resolution allows us to do it because between now and when we actually take the action, this list could change immensely. Mm-hmm. So it's just like the ones that we do that the county publishes for the delinquent taxes. We could have somebody get a letter that says, now we're going to, if you don't pay this, we're going to put a lien on, and I have every reason to believe they'll be down at the office paying. So,
exactly. My question is, though, do we even need an attachment A if we have the resolution to do that? What's the procedure going to be in the future for that?
You do need it. It's like the weed abatement thing. Mm-hmm. They need to be given notice and the board. So I guess if there's an issue and we go down, if there's more than one of you, we could do separate resolutions for each property. If Lori's the only person who has a potential conflict,
I also have four. One.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I potentially have one too.
What's the definition of conflict of interest here?
I don't know.
Well, honestly. Actually, you would not have. Well, in our policies and procedures, we've got the 500 feet. An actual conflict of interest, this would not benefit any of you individually. It benefits the community as a whole, and that's okay. So it's outside that.
Yeah.
It is within our the 500 feet, which is our policy and procedure. It's worded, if you reside within, you cannot vote on. So the safest way to do that...
Because this is going to create a problem in the future for us, because if we do weed abatement and it turns out one of your neighbors that you didn't know about or you did know about has weeds that are too tall, does that mean...
The policies and procedures, quite frankly, I'm not sure how much in force and effect they are. Really, they're. It has not. It's been haphazard, shall we say? So, let's. Can we move on and let me look at this over the break? I don't have the actual resolution in front of me or the list. There will be a way to do it.
From my understanding, though, all the property owners are liable for their water bills, even if they're rentals. So if a renter is to leave the property owner with whatever type of bill, it still lies upon the property owner. And the only other thing is within the 500 feet on attachment A here, there is an address of 1310. I currently live at 1360. And... on 17th Street, so I would be well within the 500 feet.
Actually, though, we can modify this resolution. I think we combined two provisions in the code section. There's one to put it on the tax roll, which does require a list, like the weed abatement. The putting a lien does not require. It can just be a general resolution.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And what we were going for was just for the lien today, because if we want to put it on the tax rolls, we're going to have to do several steps along the way. So we can actually... take out number one and order as follows: the staff is directed to provide the property owners the owners of property with outstanding and unpaid balances a notice that a lien will be placed on their property. And that would be fine.
And then it works, right?
Yes. And then if you want to take the next step of adding it, putting it on the tax roll, and that's a more complicated procedure, and then we need a list.
Attachment A, correct?
Yes.
In that way?
They'd be removing any language referencing attachment A. And that deals with the conflict issue. Okay. So I have a motion before me.
A second.
Do we need a roll call vote on this? I think we need a roll call.
Yes.
Carol Ann?
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. If I could have Molly and Tom correct the language on this, and I can come back later in the week and sign it. Moving on to item number 11B, discuss and review bids, field utility equipment purchase of a lead-free meter. Tom?
Okay, I came before you before, and as you all remember, we have meters out there that need replacing, and we've been on a meter replacement program. We recently became subject to California Code, Health and Safety Code, Section 25214.4.3, that says that we are to remove lead from our drinking water system, and I brought forward the quantity of meters that we wish to purchase, which was $19,000, and it was from Aquametric, and the board pushed back and said you would like additional quotes. So we went through Ferguson, and we went through Badger Meters, which Badger was who we used to purchase from before. And though those meters are cheaper, they don't comply with California Safety Code 25214.4.3. And so, again, I would like you to reconsider and allow us to go forward and purchase the meters that are state-mandated.
So I think the minutes probably should reflect when we make this purchase, if we decide to do so, that we're choosing to absorb the expense now so that in the future we don't have to reabsorb it and duplicate our own work in order to come into compliance with the new health and safety code that's going to be coming into effect.
That's the plan.
And when I spoke to Dan Silveira also, he mentioned before that this is the actual meter that fits and doesn't require extensive hours of retrofitting to make one of these other meters that are going to be out of compliant work in our particular space.
That's also correct.
Right. Is there any public?
So I have these quotes here that I can pass down.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this matter?
None at this time.
Is there any board comment on this?
No.
We're passing out quotes of the meters. And as we're looking at this, Manager Gieselin, can you direct us to which one we should be?
The Aquametrics is the one, the top one, and the that's a purchase order of $19,000.
Okay, this is the Gmail.
Right.
Okay.
And then Badger's the last one, and that's our current meter supplier.
Mr. President?
Yes.
In light of the due diligence that staff has gone out and received these bids and only to come back to find out that we are mandated by a specific type of apparatus for our water yard, I can make a motion to go ahead and approve staff's recommendation to purchase the lead-free meters at $19,882.43.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Motion carries 5-0.
We're not going to talk about it?
Well, we had a motion on the motion. Sorry.
Okay, then I'm abstaining off that motion.
Okay, I'm apologizing. Motion carries 4-0.
I just can't be handed something and then expect to vote in a minute and a half.
Moving on to item number 11C, discuss and review board member travel and seminars procedure. Manager Gieselin.
We reviewed the policies and procedures, and in your last board packet, we put in what the policies and procedures are for the OCSD staff, but nothing has been directed toward board of directors, so we have nothing to reference. And so, therefore, it was felt by staff and that we needed to draft up a policies and procedures for board member travel, and Director Searcy wanted this to be an agenda item, so we are complying with his request, and we are waiting to take direction on what you
need. Board, and you have less than a year till you're up for election, I do not think it's a good use of our money. I think that if you want to attend trainings locally, that would be fine. But if you have less than a year left in your seat, and if you're going to run for election or not run for election, I don't think that's a very good use of the people's money. Now, I've attended lots and lots of trainings, and some by force and some others voluntarily. But this is, I understand what you're trying to do, but it's so piecemealed together. Plus, these aren't current federal regulations on reimbursement. And then also, too, is that each state is different on reimbursements for gas and stuff. So I'm opposed to a director, a staff person, an advisory body for anybody who has less than, say, a year and a half of service to use the people's money to go out of town for a training. I can't endorse that. Do we want a policy that says if you're elected or you have a minimum of 2 years left in your seat to attend local trainings? Then, of course, do that. You know, we would encourage that, you know. But I read the document and I went, well, the definition of recent is 5 years. You know, and so then I started reading it more and more, and this was written, really, it was written for staff, and then they slid board members and advisory bodies into an existing legislative action. So I don't know. I think it's a good thing to work off of, but as far as policy goes, I'm not in favor of somebody who has less than a year in their seat or a less than a year and a half in their seat to do out of town travel.
Okay, I disagree with that only because if somebody is appointed and there's a year and a half ahead of them as a new board member, then they need that training. Those are the people that need that training.
Yeah, but what stops you from saying you have a board member who was here for 10, 15 years, right? And then they go off and live their life for a few years and they come back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a vacancy and they apply, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then off on a $1,500 travel when we could do it locally, you know, when we could do it. You know, I guess it has to go by a case-by-case basis.
That's what I was thinking, because
if it's
available.
If you don't have the experience, yes, please try to get as many trainings in as possible. But if you have extensive experience sitting on boards, I'm sorry,
right,
I just felt bamboozled.
And I can see that, because if the type of training that is needed by a new director is local, by all means. But if it only comes up out of the area and it's something that's going to benefit them, even though it's only a year and a half of service.
But what if it's only 6 months of service? Or
well,
9 months. 6 months.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. Okay,
months.
6 months, I think, makes sense. But I think it still should be afforded, because then it's giving the district the opportunity to win. As long as that person is on the board, they're giving them, the district, the best that they can, because they have received training
from their experience of sitting on the board.
And that's coming from my experience, because this is the first time I've ever done any of this. And in order to feel secure in what I'm doing, I know that I need training, and I'm trying to take advantage of it. And even if I would have come on the board with only 2 months or 18 months, I would still like to be afforded the opportunity to learn governance and learn how to do it, because the 18 months that I would be on the board, I would be giving the best that I had to give because I'd been trained.
Right. So say you'd been on that board for already 10, 15 years.
Well, then, if I hadn't been trained in 10, 15 years, shame on me. You know, seriously, shame on me. You know what I mean? If I'm coming back to a board 10 or 15 years later, or had 10 or 15 years experience and didn't know what I was doing, then, wow.
There's another issue, too. I think what's happened in the past is it's not been one or two board members to go and do the training and then come back and share it with the others. It's been everybody and their brother, spouse, whatever.
That we review the policies and procedures. Now, if you want to split it up between staff and, board members, that's fine, because even staff, if we have someone here that's worked here for 15 or 20 years, and let's say that, he's well competent, but yet let's not put that man out there for any update of his licenses or any further education or whatever. And if you have a board member who may be experienced and has all the training, there are updates.
Updates, yeah.
There is updates that, we need to know about to make not only financial decisions, but some of our administrative decisions that we go through our regular daily businesses with. Now, if it's a seminar that's just pretty much in general and it's an overview, but if it's a specific type of educational, you're getting updates, workman's comp, whatever. I mean, you must be apprised of those kind of things, because when you sit down at the table and you have everybody in front of you, and you're not, didn't you hear about the new ABA or anything? Well, no, I didn't. And, what's wrong with you? You've been sitting on the board for 15 years. I can understand it. So if we want to just split this up and not throw the board members into the mix with the travel and the procedures for staff, then we should split it up. We should have a policy. We should have a policy for board members only, and we should have a policy for employees only. So that's where it stands. With me, because I just didn't know, and I want to find out.
We can also take advantage of seminars online, too. Those work, too, some of them.
I think what I'm hearing is that we don't have a specific proposal to any changes. We're having the discussion. Except for Vice President Lucy's.
I can't barely hear.
Vice President Lucy's suggestion regarding having some sort of a bright line on when you're, basically, it sounds like an ineligibility if you only have a certain amount of times left in your term is what you're proposing, Mary, if I understand it.
No, what I'm saying is utilize local trainings. Get on the internet. If you I have my computer set up where there's a legislative update, boom, that sucker pops right on up in my computer. I don't understand. I mean, before the board changed over, $6,000 we spent on two people to go to Beverly Hills for a training. And now
exactly.
Somebody who's up for election wants to go to San Francisco for a training. That's my issue there, is that if you want to locally get trained and stuff like that, great. But if you're elected in November, LAFCO is going to provide that same training in February. Because I'm the one who was railroaded and had to go to the darn thing. But I went when I was fresh on the board and I had 4 years to serve. And they didn't get me back up there after that. So I go to the local trainings. And what's wrong with the local trainings if you're a short-term board member? If you're going to run for re-election, then do, the junket after the election. And that's my issue. It's just really practical.
maybe what on the second to last page.
Let me put in one more thing.
Too. Sure.
There's not a term limit on positions. So somebody needs to have their license certified. Or I'm not opposed to training staff. I think it's the best use
I
of
do
a
too.
Dollar.
I do too. I firmly believe
I'm
in training.
I wholeheartedly believe in training staff.
And I think maybe what needs to be maybe established is fundamental courses that are needed as you come in.
Yeah.
And then make sure that those classes are taken. And then from there, once you get that initial training, but, you know, because like things like governance and finance and those things are very important.
Yes, of course.
And so I think that when we sit down to discuss mm-hmm. this as, you know, writing out, then we can come up with some structured courses that are needed and try to provide those as soon as possible for anyone who takes a director's seat, if they have not had those.
Right. And most of them.
And there's this provision here that all requests for reimbursement shall be submitted to the general manager within 10 days for return of travel. Perhaps if a board member wants to travel, it should be on the agenda meeting beforehand for board member approval. Is that something that might make more sense?
Well, the original intent of this was two things, and Director Searcy's got it. It's to review what we have
Correct.
In place.
Right.
And then I'm expecting you to tell me, get this rewritten to accommodate what we've decided tonight.
Because
and then we can go ahead and put that in place. But I need parameters. And the situations all change when mm-hmm. somebody wants to do something. Somebody's got their own reason for wanting to do that. And I agree that it should come before the board to do that, just like I would bring anybody else's request before the board. But the problem is this document goes back to 2007.
Right.
It's now 2012.
Right.
And we need to have some parameters set.
And
because right now it currently hangs me out to dry. If you came to me tomorrow and said, I want to go to this CSDA legal thing up in Hawaii,
right.
I don't have a legitimate reason to say no, because if I go by it,
I'd agree with that. I would like to go to Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah. but you get my point, right?
Right. Right.
And we need some guidelines, and we need some uniform guidelines. And Director Angelo is absolutely right on. There were some exorbitant travel expenses done in years past, and we've it's a budgeted item now, and we control it, but I need some more definitive guidelines, and I don't feel it's my place to set the board guidelines. I feel the board is here to govern itself and give me the guidelines to incorporate.
Well, I think that we're thinking the same way, and it's that there's a difference between staff travel and board member travel, and that maybe the policy that needs to be addressed is board member travel, which is exactly what's on the agenda tonight,
yeah.
which what Director Searcy put on. And so it seems to me, my read on it and the discussion that the board is having is that it should be on the agenda if there's going to be a board member travel prior to that travel for approval, and that staff travel should be at the manager's discretion, who in this case would be you. If you think it's appropriate for our training, for accounting, for billing, for water yard person, that if that's appropriate, then you would be the one to approve that. Not the board.
I get that. But up until you just said that, there right. was nothing that said that right. the board could approve.
And it's not here.
Right.
And that's why we're discussing.
And that's what I'm asking for.
Right.
Give me some guidelines so I can incorporate it.
And Director Lucy, does that seem to fulfill what you think as a policy concern with board member travel, to make sure that it's appropriate and not exorbitant?
That's fine.
Director Searcy, you put this on. Do you think that addresses
well,
issues?
Well, we need, like Tom says, we need some kind of parameters.
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious that the board is definitely separate from as an employee. We are not employees of the district.
Right.
And
not for this rate.
Can you speak into them?
Well, we are not employees of the district. And so if I was to leave town on district business, get in a car accident up around Salinas, the district is held harmless because I am not an employee of the district. I mean, I'm out there at my own risk.
Oh, you mean for like workers' comp issues or something?
Any kind of issues. I mean, but it needs to be identified so that when there is issues that board members do need training or they, you know, whatever, then we know up front. Well, if we're going to go, then we come to the board and say, you know, I'm going to San Francisco next week, and we're going to be refreshed on workman's comp issues, and whether you be on the administrative finance committee or water, sewer. I mean, there's going to be those issues that we as board members and leaders of the community need to be abreast of. If we're not, then what?
Sorry. See, I think that's crossing the line. I'm sorry. I think that's, as a board member, I think that's crossing the line. If somebody needs to know about workman's comp, I look to the staff for that expertise because I'm a board member. They're supposed to advise me. You know, I should not have to go sit in a workman's comp training if legislation changes, you know, and there's a hill visit or a structured hill visit, you know, that can't be avoided. Okay, for the better of the community, I'll go do it, but I won't be happy about it, you know. Otherwise, I'm going to get online and I'm going to look what the change in the...
Day after the election that the cooperativeness of this board changes and you get railroaded every time you bring something forward, how are we to act on that? At some point in time, you got to give me parameters to say, no, wait a minute, this fits, he's head of the personnel committee, he should be able to go to this thing on PERS, or he should be able to go to this and on these issues, or she should be able to go to this on these issues. And so unless we have a set of parameters to go by, I could bring it to the board all day long, and Director Angelo loses 3-2 every time.
Right. Mary?
I've been in that position.
Yeah, I was thinking of a board. And I was thinking of a board that happens to quite frequently.
Well, okay, so I'm going to make a motion.
All right.
Okay. I move that all board travel be agendized and brought before the board at the next scheduled meeting. Any board member travel
board member
be
travel.
Agendized and brought to the earliest board meeting.
Can I, before you vote on that, just interject that I don't know whether this is a adopted policy, again,
yeah.
Because
it's... Now it's a cut-and-paste job.
Almost impossible to tell what is
it's
out there is
a
draft and what is... What do you know?
This was done by a very, very motivated man, which I was here for him, Mr. O'Reilly, and who,
But do you know whether it's a policy or just a draft?
No, it's a cut and paste job. I'm
okay,
sorry,
so
it never
was
adopted by the board.
Okay.
You do need.
We need to adopt the whole thing.
It was
you
never
need
adopted.
A policy that's adopted at a public meeting, and the policy. You know, about reimbursement.
Right.
If you want it to be, just it'll come before the board each and every time.
Okay, do you want me to restate my motion?
Yeah.
Well, hold on a second.
I'm scribbling.
Can I make one more comment before you make a motion?
Sure. You're the president.
Mademoiselle. I would suggest that we actually produce a resolution for the next meeting to include the items that we are discussing tonight, that board member travel. I like the way this is worded, except that it leaves a vagueness as to board member travel, and I think there should be a paragraph that specifically addresses board member travel being brought before the board.
Well, the code requires the policy to specify the types of occurrences that qualify a member to receive reimbursement of expenses relating to travel, meals, lodging, and other actual and necessary expenses. So this is a good start. It's kind of long and hard to read.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I thought it was horrible.
Can we also include this in our policies and procedures manual, and add it as a section?
Okay.
And then when we approve that, we approve everything.
Yeah.
So what I need this board to do is give me some parameters to include in that document.
Matt,
go ahead.
Staff. direction.
Yes. I think the direction to staff would be to... I don't mind this. If you want to clean up the language, I actually don't mind it. It's been copied from somewhere else, clearly. Molly's giving me funny looks. She seems to mind it. But I think the vagueness is, and what needs to be cleared up, is the issue with board member travel should be specified. And basically what that does is I think it grants the authority to the board to approve or deny travel. But I think the parameters as far as the meal reimbursement and stuff are all okay. That's my read on it.
But you do need to specify in a policy the types of travel, the types of occurrences that will be reimbursed, even if you want to put another limiting factor.
Just say to the benefit of the district or for education.
Educational.
Board development.
Mileage.
All those things.
And then even if you want to add another qualifier saying, and even if it is for ethics training, they still have to come before the board and have specially approved. That's fine, but it just needs to be more specific, and you need to have a policy that will comply with this code.
You know, like no mini bars allowed?
Yeah. It probably doesn't have to be that specific.
You've got to bring your own.
But in some cities it does.
That might be necessary and reasonable.
I actually see Tom's point, though, and what he's saying. Like right now we have a very cooperative board, but say it changes, and there's training that's available that suits the need of a committee chair or a committee member, such as finance or personnel, and two or three people don't want you to go just because they don't want you to go. We've got to have some type of parameters that can...
That's probably why they have this code section saying you have to up front at a public meeting.
Okay.
Put in the parameters and specify the occurrences.
Okay.
So that's probably exactly why that's in there.
Yeah, okay. We could have a proposed form to fill out. You know, to go to this training.
You know, you guys are ultimately responsible for the governing of this deal, and if you need more additional education, then you should have the access to it, and we're certainly going to budget for it. But I'm more concerned if this changes and then somebody's odd man out every single time and I don't have the parameters to push back.
And there could be a tyranny of the majority.
Right.
Director Hurdle, you were going to...
Oh, I was just going to say, can we give you the authority to push back?
I don't think we can. I don't think we can give the manager the authority to override the board.
I think you should draft a policy starting with the code section, because it does give you... There are several guidelines in here that we could use.
Okay.
And start with that, and you can modify from that once we have something. But right now...
Can we just table this and come back to it?
Well, should a committee, or do you and Tom want to draft something...
We could draft something and bring it, and it can go to committee, or you can discuss it. But I do think we need to start with something that lays down some real parameters and instances and guidelines.
Or I could come to your office, and you and I could work on it, and then bring it, whatever's the preference.
Yeah, but somehow we need something more than it comes before the board every time, this.
Because we could set a base floor, you know, up to $500, you're good, or something. I don't know.
Then I just strongly encourage you to hijack another municipality's policy, because, duplication is duplication, and this is not a new concept.
No,
this is not a new issue. This is not cutting edge. Just go to slow and say, give me your HR doc. It's all written out right there.
I have a stash of public entities.
I have the city of L.A.'s, too.
I have CDC.
Can I ask the president we take a short break?
We're about done with this. I just want to make sure Director Searcy has had his say on, because he did put this motion or this on the agenda, if it seems to the discussion.
Yeah, I have nothing else to say.
Okay. Why don't we table this? For the time being, I'm not going to suggest we put it on for the next agenda, because we might not be done with it between now and then. And then just for clarification, who should work on it? Should it be Manager Gieselin, Molly, myself, any of the particular board members? None of the above.
I'd be happy to help.
Oh, I was going to say I would too.
Only two of us board members can work on it.
Yeah, because we'll call you and Mary.
Okay, how about Mary and I work with Molly?
Great. That makes sense.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll take a short break. It's 8:07. We'll adjourn until 8:15.
Thanks. Thank you, sir.
Here she comes. All right, well, we call this meeting back to order. It's 8:16 p.m., Oceano Community Services District. Moving on to item 11D, discussion and review 2011-2012 third quarter budget update. Manager Gieselin.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen of the board.
Can you speak in the microphone? Your microphone's off.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
We can hear you.
Okay. As promised, this is our third quarter update of our budget, and there are some, if we go to page 2, in the blue to the left under total revenue, that's our total revenue that we've actually brought into the district either through billing or transfers from property taxes and everything else, so we're almost $3.2 million. If you go across in the red, you'll see that we have spent $3.2 million and change, but that also included $380,000 of prior year expenses.
Okay.
So our current year expenses are actually $2.826 million. Which means that we are third quarter and third quarter in three fourths of the year, we are operating in the black to the tune of $368,000, which I'm actually very, very proud of. And I want you to remember that back in June, when Marie and I and the staff got focused on all these issues, where we were with the county and everything, and the fact that we are functioning to that, that allows us to forward plan and bring some of these capital improvements forward and go over things that the district needs to do and ensure the people of Oceano that we are doing the best that we can. Now, there were some changes that I need to address because we, when we got involved with this, remember I said right now Tyler's the best thing that we've got, and we're going to use Tyler, but we keep getting reoccurring problems where accounts weren't identified or loaded properly, and certain things were posted to the wrong account because of the way it was loaded, and that was done by the previous management. And so we're still getting these little migraine headaches that we keep finding things on that setup. Under NCMA Tech, that's the expenses that we pay GEI and WSC, and as you can see, we're tracking under budget there compared to some previous comments. In previous reportings, we're still working out when we do the payroll, when we burden everything. The burden numbers, you have insurances, you don't have insurances. We've been more aggressively burdened in this, but you can see that we're still under budget. The other thing that needs to be pointed out is that we budgeted outside service consultants, and we're at 159 on that. That includes our engineer, that includes the accounting, that includes my work previously and Marie's work prior to her being on payroll. So we anticipate that in the fourth quarter, that'll be we'll still continue to add to it, but that number will be significantly lower in the following year. If you look at legal and litigation, the legal fees in this district have been challenged, but if you take the litigation away from it, we're at $40,000, and for what we've had to deal with over the last three quarters of the year, that to me that's well within line. If you look at OCSD water, sewer, and maintenance, you know the stuff that we've been doing. We upgraded the Lopez meter. We've got the repair that's on Cienega. We've got all the other in-house repairs that we've been doing, and that's climbing. But we budgeted for it, and it's there. Continuing education and seminars, we're tracking accordingly. Air Pollution Control District, we're okay. And LAFCO, we are under budget. So because of the change from the anticipated revenue from the sanitation district changing, that worst-case projected reserve contribution would be a loss of $160,000, but which we will not actually have, because if you look at the 363 that we're bringing in, and we still have another billing cycle to complete, and we have frontage fees coming in with the new projects that are starting, so all that's going to increase. So what I'm asking for you right now is for you guys to ask me any questions about this, and then approve the review.
So it is $368,000.
Say again.
It is $363,000 as opposed to, I think you said $368,000 initially.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's $363,818. Okay. Oh, and there's one other key thing I need to point out. If you look at the property tax, mm-hmm. where that's the actual number of transfers that we've done. We still have monies in the county's general fund that we have not transferred over, and we're about we should have got another big property tax sweep. So that number, when we close the fourth quarter, will be more reflective of the 803. But the money's there; we just haven't swept it into the general account yet.
And that's still earmarked for the fire, right?
Correct. 82%.
82%.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, can you explain to me, if we go over to the revenue, you have the Wheeling AG Canyon Creek.
Right.
At 16.4.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious as to, and then I see it down here again under expense of $4,500, and I assume that's just for piping and maintenance and such, the $4,500.
The actual expenses, that's one that we're monitoring, because we don't at this current time we don't have a real good understanding. To me, it's treated as a pass through, but it's something that we need to get a better understanding on.
Yeah, and that contract was done a long time ago, and so the rates are very different then than they are now.
Yep.
And I suspect that we're actually losing some money on the Canyon Creek.
Right. It's one of the things that we need to look at. But if you look at it in the grand scheme of things, mm-hmm. the $14,000 versus what we've gone, it appears to just to be a pass-through. But we need to look at it more closely.
Right. Yeah. $1,000 that was brought in on that. So thank
zero
you for putting
cost.
That down. That's important.
That was good for the district.
It's good mm-hmm. for the district. I'm also glad to see that Seamus is paying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's almost finished.
Yes.
Yeah. He got off
That's
light.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He got off light.
Now, can you explain to me a little bit about the legal, though? We have legal, and then we have litigation.
Okay. The litigation was payments to $79,000 to Pamela Dean on one lawsuit, and then $6,500 paid to Pamela Dean again.
That should total $85,000 then.
So Pamela Dean collected about $100,000 off the people of Oceana, right?
No, she's collected a little over $80,000.
A little over $80,000. Okay. Well, just so long as people know where their money's going.
Because this shows 75,503.
Right. I think this is one of those issues that we have where the Tyler account doesn't match up the way it should.
Okay.
And these, like I said, these little headaches are popping up.
We have to keep us updated on.
Yeah, I am. We're cleaning right. This every day.
I know, but I was going to say on the changing what we spoke about earlier, changing software programs. You have to
we're going to go extremely proactive on that.
Oh, thank you. Is there any other questions? I think we'll just receive this, and perhaps we could post it to our website as well.
Yeah, it'll be posted.
All right.
And thanks for doing this.
It's very helpful, Tom.
Thank you very much. It is very, very helpful.
So we'll receive this report, have it posted to the website. Should we attach it to the minutes?
Should we
attach it to the minutes for next week?
I don't have a problem with that. And okay. It's going to be attached to the Friday report, too. So
that's probably sufficient. I don't think we need to attach it to the minutes. Then. Moving on to item E, discuss and review 5 capital improvement projects. Manager Giesel?
Okay, so what I gave you in your agenda packet was what the outcome of Director Searcy, Dan Silvera, and myself identifying capital improvement projects that we needed to get start paying attention to. And the this matrix here identifies each project, what the status is, what our projected start date would be, and the projected cost. And Director Lucy commented that to me earlier that she wanted more information so that she could make a more informed decision on some of these, but my intent was to walk through them and orally go through it, but I actually updated the staff report this afternoon, so I'll pass these forward to you and we will go through the setup. Now, your copies have maps in them for the first project, and you need to keep that. We release the matrix and the written staff report without the maps, because maps are we're supposed to guard those because of homeland security issues, so we don't let our water system be known to the public because of that.
Right.
So you guys have those maps, but the public will not get them. If somebody wanted to come in and review them, they could come in and review them, but for homeland security issues, we don't put them out in the public. So attached is the engineer's report and for item number one and the maps for you to look at and the projected cost. Now, in review, we discovered that the engineer is calling out a 12-inch pipe, and we think that may be overkill, and so we're going to push back on that. That's why it says 95% engineered. Because we think that it might, we don't feel, staff feels that that needs to be re-examined. But once that issue is addressed, we're planning on going forward and get the county permits, go out for bid, and then this will require water shutdown. And so we have to go through all that coordination effect as well. So we're laying the groundwork to get this part done, and we all know this is we do this in conjunction with the fire department, and we also have those part of that thing that we're doing with the fire department about the emergency management plan and all that.
Right.
So the hydrants all fall under that, so that's why we're that's there. It's smaller money, but it's something that we can get on right away, and it's something, if you notice, it says internal OCSD job, so we don't have to go out for bid on that. And then the same thing on the exterior maintenance on the tanks and the well yards. We do that all the time, but we really want the well yard to start looking like well 8, where everything's readily identified. And they've done significant things already by putting French drains in. We've done the Lopez meter, but we have other things there that we need to do. So there again, Dan can have his guys go out and do that in the normal course of business. But you need to be aware of that. That's about the amount of money that we're going to spend. And you know the old drill, right? You start going at it, and then you find something else that needs to be replaced, and so it could come forward. So I want you to understand where we're going and the amount of money that we're planning on spending over the next 3 to 6 months. Now, on the lift station, there's also a report on that. And we have valves that are worn, you know, that are worn out. We have stuff that's not working properly that we're band-aiding together. And it's just common maintenance that should have been done a long time ago, but needs to be done now. And we're being proactive in getting it done. So I'm open to questions.
I just have a comment, and one of the this number one with the water main, of course, some of our pipes are 2 inches diameter. They're 60 years old, and they only carry about 500 gallons per minute at max capacity. The fire department's to fight fire requires 1,500 gallons per minute, and so we're unable to meet the fire department's needs should there be an emergency.
That's why it's there.
So in addition to providing reliable water service, we also need to have public safety, which is paramount. So how do we as a board and as a OCSD intend to pay for these particular items? Where's the money going to come from? That's going to be the big question.
Well, if you notice, we're running at a positive. Uh-huh. And when we collect money for each billing cycle, in theory we're supposed to take part of that money and put toward the infrastructure.
Uh-huh.
That hasn't been done. And so now what I'm trying to do is my water and sewer maintenance number will go up higher. We're not going to have the past due or prior year monies that we have to catch up on. So I'm anticipating that we'll have a similar amount of revenue next year, and therefore, instead of the $380,000 going to prior year setups, it's going to go to putting into this maintenance. So we'll still be able to provide the quality service that we're providing, actually be better. We'll still be able to get the equipment that we need to do the job, and it will put the money in the infrastructure where it needs to be put, while still not looking for other sources of revenue. And you have to remember, and I've said this 3 or 4 times, once we're cool with all the financials, the opportunities are coming forward to us where the actual cost to do some of these projects because of our economic structure is going to be way less than anybody else because of the amount of aid that we would be entitled to. And so that's what I intend to exercise.
Excellent.
So, but I needed to give you 5. I mean, there's 20, or 25, or 35. But it was in my best interest to give you the best 5, go forward and get it done, and then we continue to track and then add things as we go along.
And importantly, I'm not hearing 2 things. I'm not hearing raising rates for our ratepayers, and I'm also not hearing taking out loans, which are two very important things.
There will not be those issues.
Okay. I can't hear you.
Not hearing raising rates or taking out loans, and that's 2 important things. So.
Right.
Are there any other board questions for Manager Giesling?
No, I just
what I worry about is sticking to the annual budget. This is what I worry about, is that when we did the budget last year, I mean, realistically, I didn't.
I'm hoping we don't have any litigation that we have to pay, number one. Number two is I'm hoping that we've got the policies and procedures and the best business practices in place to where we're controlling our funds, and we are, because right. you're seeing the benefit of it.
It's coming in.
I had a meeting with Director Angelo, and we started with where we were in June, and I pointed out where we are now, and we have not touched reserves. Our reserves have gone up because we haven't pulled out all the property tax money, the money that the county collects for us. It's still sitting there. And we're meeting every bill. And, oh, by the way, everybody's paid. So we will do this schedule. And Dan and I have gone over this. This is what we can do. This is our first pass at it, and as we knock them off, we'll add more to go forward.
This is wonderful. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited about this. Could be getting started on the infrastructure. That pipe has been sitting there for a year since I've been on the board. Yeah.
Staring at us, right?
I think the other thing, too, is this is us controlling our agenda.
Yes.
And not managing by crisis, but managing with forethought and foresight, I should say, and thank you.
You're sleeping better at night.
All right. This is what I've been talking about for months. You know, we need to be working on infrastructure, right. Infrastructure. And thank you, Tom, for bringing this to the public's perception so they can see that we are. With that, let's move on to item number 11F, sanitation district contract. And, you know, Tom, my only criticism is this should have probably been at the front of the agenda, because I think this is really important. So let's go ahead and talk about it.
Okay, so right off the bat, we went looking for the sanitation district contract, and we could not find one, and we contacted the sanitation district and asked them to provide us with one, and they said that they couldn't find one, so they called their counsel, Michael Seitz, and he responded and said that there was not a contract with the sanitation district. So then I got an email from John Wallace, and he said, to his knowledge, and he goes back to when Rich Hill was the general manager here, and he cited that there wasn't a contract, and they've been doing business this way since Rich Hill. So that immediately got involved with council, and we need to address several things with the sanitation district. And as I pointed to you in the budget, one of the big things that came forward was we're doing all their billing, all their collecting for not even $5,000 a year. And that, to me, is totally unacceptable. And so I will be coming forward to you. Actually, you want to describe our strategy on that? Or okay, I'm going to give it to council.
We're going to try to, since we don't really know the history, since there's not a lot of documentation and no contract, start by writing letters and setting forth the problem. And it does appear that the engineer could have and should have seen some of these things. Mm-hmm. In the budget and in the billing, and just kind of move it in steps toward a position where we can demand, one, payment for what we've done, mm-hmm. and two, put into place a contract so that we can ensure payment in the future for continuing to perform the services for them.
Do AG and Grover have contracts?
It appears that they don't, but I don't have that answer.
So he's not had a contract at all to be the general.
We have not been able to find one in the sanitation district
all these years.
So there's no contract.
Ever.
That's amazing.
This much money going through everybody's hands and there's no contract?
That's what it appears.
Either that or they just can't find them.
And I mean, you say the engineer should have caught that, and who do you
think? Well, my point is that and he's asked to come speak on the behalf of the sanitation district to us at a later date because this item caught his attention on the agenda, but he's out of town this week. But this other stuff came forward since that request came out, because when we were going through the budget and we couldn't account for the money that we thought we were receiving, and then found out that all we received was
of running the SAND district's admin stuff through this department, and I'm really disheartened. I'm disgusted, you know. And I knew there wasn't a contract, and I knew that Wallace was, let me put it gently, being deceitful, you know, when it came to how much it costs to run the SAND district's business through this office. You know, so I think it was intentional on the sanitation district's part, but besides all that, Grover Beach came into that project late. The county held that seat on the SAND district when that district was being built. They have, if there's any documentation, it is going to be at the county, because they document. They gave up their seat and they gave it to Grover. Grover, taking a free ride, jumped on it, you know, I mean, because it barely cost them anything to get to the table. Oceano absorbed all that. Oceano gave them the land. Oceano has always supported that SAND district more than others. I don't care about the 33 and a third percent. You know, so I'm not surprised one bit there's not a contract, but I bet you there's a contract at the county between the sanitation district and the county, because the county wanted out of that SAND district, and they went and found another partner. It was Grover. So that's just where I would start. But I'm glad to see that somebody else is paying attention, because I'm tired of yakking about the SAND district. And I still have not got an answer on the fines. No documentation, no cooperation, and no correspondence from the state, nothing. You know, so...
Microphone, please.
I don't think we need it.
You need your microphone.
I'm done.
Thank you.
Director Searcy?
I have no comment.
What's a fair... I mean, how are we approaching it, if you know? And you may not have an answer to this, but what would be a fair percentage? What would be a fair administrative expense? I mean, what's our, you know, actual out-of-pocket? I mean, you know, how do we get it? You know, I think it's kind of an unjust enrichment claim to the sanitation district if they've been taking advantage of our services and we've been letting them. How do we value that? Any idea? And you may not know, Tom. I understand.
There's actually a formula for that. Administrative expenses, there's a formula, and it'll be right around between 16% and 22% of the base salary, of the base amount that you run through. That's usually what it does to be a fiscal agent, because that's basically what we're providing them services for. Right? Would you not agree that administrative fiscal?
Can you use your microphone, please?
Marie, would you say that it's administrative and fiscal?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
The reality of it is that that wouldn't even cover one postage setup of the bill. And I don't know why this went the way it did. I don't know why nobody ever questioned it. I don't know if it was a you scratch my back, I'll scratch your deal. I don't know. There's very little documented history. But we are in a position to say
now
it's over, and we are going to get that.
We're not that small of a county anymore.
Right.
Right.
And we know. I mean, we can calculate very easily, you know, what the costs are. And granted, we don't bill just for ourselves.
Correct.
We bill for them, and maybe they pick up a portion of it. But I guarantee it's not
$4,900,
and then, oh, by the way, put push back on us to say you want to make a change and you're going to give us a little bit more money. And it's just a bad situation, and it needs to be remedied fairly quickly.
Okay.
So that's that part of it.
Well, and Mary, thank you for getting to the bottom of this.
We didn't know there was an issue.
We need what?
We didn't know there was an issue.
There was an issue.
And Mary's identified another issue, is that we're one-third owners in part of the sanitation plant, and yet we don't receive any revenue back because we're only using, I understand, about 17% of the resources. And so there may be an issue as to whether or not Oceano is due some money back as part of, as being part owners.
Well, we definitely need to start challenging that position. And, you know, it will be a challenge because their council believes that it's an entity unto itself. But, you know, I was under the impression, based on what they were paying, that they were paying us, you know, 11%. That's what we budgeted of our billing. And, you know, it wasn't one of those things we needed to tackle at the time. Collect that money. Right, and then we're obligated to go pay that to them. And what's frustrating me is that, you know, here we're doing all this work, and we're basically doing it for free. And I can't. That's, to me, that's a breach of our relationship with them, and it's a fiduciary breach to the ratepayers of Oceano. Because these people are paid to work to make everything go for Oceano.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so we've been grossly taken advantage of. And I looked at the numbers that they're paying AG and Grover, and they're not much different than ours. And so we're not the only agency that's been taken advantage of.
Have you spoke to their city managers about that?
I will tomorrow when I get with them.
Is there any public comment on this? Kathy Young, you're the only one here. So okay, she's not. She's shaking her head.
Which I'm really glad she's here.
Yeah, good to see you, Kathy.
So what I will do is I will keep this on the agenda for next meeting, and I will bring back more information. And by that time, Council and I can start our papering process to get this remedied.
Thank you.
And just as a follow-up, with the windsurfers coming in the last couple of meetings, and they're
surf riders.
Surf riders. The surf riders coming in, and they're concerned about the liability for the spill. Has anybody talked to the Sand District about that?
They're well aware of the surf riders. But that should be something Director Guerrero should talk to.
It's been on closed session. The status of the fines has been on closed session.
Okay.
For a number of meetings, it's all closed session. Unfortunately, I can't discuss it in open session.
Of course.
So Matt, can I ask you that you get the documents, the communication from the state to the Sand District, and that we go into closed session and read those documents as 33 1/3% person who's liable for that fine? I'd like to see what the state has to say.
I'm going to have to talk to Molly. Do you mind if I talk to Molly and see what I'm able
to
disclose?
That would be fine. However you want to handle it, but we have a right to know what's happening on those negotiations.
Because
it's
this
like going to court and not being there.
This is one of my concerns, is that we are an owner of the sanitation district and therefore an owner of the fines, if and when they do come down. And it seems grossly unfair that not only our board, but in this sort of situations, Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande, you know, we're all going to be in the dark and read about it in the newspaper, except for the three of us who sat on the board and have kind of known what's going on. And so, I think I need some direction from Molly. I need to get with you and find out what it is I can disclose to the board at certain times.
Well,
I don't know where the line is, you know, as far as...
I don't know what's out there. We'd have to look at it, because generally you can't disclose that closed session even to this board, but... Dr. Lucy brings up a good point, that fines out there.
That's a problem, yeah.
So there may be some documents that the state presented that can be disclosed to the board.
Okay.
So, yeah, let's talk about
I'll come by your office. I know where you
were. Don't get browbeat by their big bully lawyer. That's what happens, is that their big bully lawyer starts screaming and yelling, and everybody shrivels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the man is not God. He's just the man. Mm-hmm. You know, the law is the law, and we have a right to those documents in closed session. If we're going to have to pay the fine, we have a right to know what we're being sued for.
Okay, that's what I want to find. I want to know where the line is there so that I can...
Go in there and do it, buddy.
Okay. I'll talk to Molly about it, and then I'll find out what I can give you. Okay.
Talk to Molly, the woman.
And she's not God either.
So at the next meeting, I'll ask Mr. Wallace to be here to present, and then I will also have this other stuff addressed, and then Director Guerrero can... chase his section down as well. So the Sand District will be the highlight of the...
Why don't we put that at the front end of the agenda?
Right.
Because I think that's important.
Yeah,
I think the community is going to be interested to know if we've been getting fleeced or not.
Yes.
So.
Okay.
There'll be a lot of...
And Molly, you know, I'll be down at the county the beginning of next week. You know, I'll be happy to dig around, too. I'll be going into SLO next week. You know, I'll be happy to dig around in the planning department, you know, to see...
Perhaps
what documents? It's big. They're there. You can't spend tax dollars without some kind of...
I'm sure there are documents that you can get. It's just that there can't be something this big with this many findings.
Exactly.
And have it all be privileged. That's not making
no,
sense.
No, I'm
to me,
saying
so.
As far as the original agreement.
What?
Is it a water issue?
Yeah, it's the whole environmental impact report.
Do you want to review
I'll
it?
Go to sleep listening to it, probably.
Water, I can do it.
Director Searcy has volunteered to.
It's an environmental impact.
But it talks about the significant effects of drainage and water quality, groundwater, cultural resources, biological resources, typical
that's
environmental
true,
study. But they sent it to us for a reason, so.
Somebody should review it and report.
Review it, report.
Did David include a letter from LAFCO?
No.
I'm putting this in here for your review.
Just came as a packet.
They tried to steal your water and you didn't let them here, you know, no? Something like that?
No, it left.
Sorry,
out.
I brought it forward. I guess with my spare time, I'll go through this.
Well,
and
Director
Searcy
has volunteered to review it and report on it, so I'm okay with that. If perhaps he can review it, report to us next meeting, which is going to be May 9th, right?
May 9th.
Yeah. Okay. We have moving on to item number 12, closed session conference with legal counsel. Anticipate litigation, significant exposure to litigation pursuant to Subdivision B of Government Code 54956.91, case arising from Julie Tacker letter dated 4/10/2012. Copy is available upon request. I'm having deja vu all over again.
Yep.
Is there any public comment on this issue?
None at this time.
Okay. All right, we'll go into closed session at this time. It's 9:01.
Happy
soon?
Yes.
All right. Call this meeting back to order. It is 9:23 p.m. Returning from closed session, there is no reportable action. Moving on to item number 13, public comment. Is there any public comment this evening?
Not at this time.
All right. Item number 14, board member discussion. Why don't we start at the end? Vice President Lucy, do you have any board member discussion this evening that we haven't heard?
No, sir.
Director Searcy?
No.
Director Angelo?
No.
Director Hurdle?
No, thank you.
Myself either. Number 15, board member items for next board meeting agenda that haven't been...
Oh. But Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Do you have any comment?
No, I don't. Thank you. Mademoiselle? Item number 15, board member items for the next board meeting agenda. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add that we have not discussed already? Hearing none, we'll move on. Oh, please.
Give us a minute.
Yes.
Like there was something I wanted, but I can't think
is
of
it too it early to talk about the Tyler software, or do you want to wait for a while on that one?
I think with the stuff that we have on this coming agenda with the sanitation district, you're going to have both fire and police chief reporting. And with the comeback of these two other projects, I think we're going to have more than enough stuff to do.
Okay. I just don't want to get it lost.
It's not going to be lost, trust me.
I can tell. Well, that was the only thing I
That's an expensive bill. What are we, about $3,000 a month to Tyler?
Yeah, a little more.
Yeah, plus we gave him money up front, too.
Yeah.
Written communications, item number 16, Tom?
I have none at this time.
All right. I have a motion to adjourn.
Did you guys get any written communication?
No, I haven't received anything related to the board.
Nobody?
Anyone?
I guess we're done.
All right. Any concerts lately?
No, I haven't. Well, I went to Madness last week. That was fantastic. All right.
To a great concert.
It was fantastic. All right. Have a good night.
Lucy said yes. She'd like to adjourn.
I'm sorry. I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Good night.